You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Robbins. Our current serial is Let Sleeping Princes Lie, the third novella in the Castle Charming series. If you want to catch up on the previous adventures of Kai, Dennis, Siggy and the Royals, check out Glass Slipper Scandal and Dance Princes Dance, which are both right here on the podcast. You have to scroll back a bit, but they're there. You can also read those stories as ebooks, available across many formats and platforms, or download them as part of the story bundle that you receive when you become a financial supporter of my Patreon. So I'll make this quick. This episode's already a bit late this week. But I am going to be at GenreCon this weekend, which is really exciting. I hope to see some of you there. Okay, but in the meantime, part 3, Royal Coping Mechanisms 101. Prince Chase of Charming didn't deal with the first month of spring, like at all. He and Cyrus had a long-standing tradition that when the flowers started building up outside the gates and the annual spinning wheel bonfires stank up the air with smoke, the two of them had license to do whatever the hell they wanted. For Chase, that had always meant drinking, dancing, meaningless sex, replacing rough hangovers and even rougher bed companions with more drinking and dancing and meaningless sex until the weather was warmer and the entire country stopped being so goddamn sad about what had happened to his family all those years ago. He wasn't 100% sure what Cyrus did for that month, though he suspected it involved a lot more running, weights training, and obsessively monitoring his food intake than usual. Not this year, though. This year, Chase had made a promise to his sister. Sisters were the worst. Camilla turned up at his door, her cropped dark hair concealed by a cotton beanie. She wore soft trousers and a shirt that clearly had not been designed with princesses in mind, cut short over her shoulders to show off the spiralling ink that patterned her arms. "Morning, sweets," she said with a wicked grin. Chase glared at her. Sunrise had never been part of his spring survival plan unless he was seeing it from the wrong end when he dragged himself home from a seedy nightclub three towns over. "I hate everything," he informed her. "Healthy choices," teased Camilla. Chase had to admit she'd been doing well. Over the last 6 months, Camilla had gone from a virtual recluse, hiding in her tower, to, well, a sister who took an interest in whether or not her older brothers were being self-destructive this week. It had to be better, right? "Healthy choices," he muttered resentfully. She made a few impatient jogging motions. "It's going to be fun. Don't lie to me. It's not going to be terrible. You're overselling it, Cam." "It's going to be dreadful," she said with relish. "Let's get started." Since the dancing shoes incident and, well, all manner of other drunken scandals over the last year, Chase was not allowed out of the castle without at least one interfering shadow. As he and his sister made their way to the grassy oval that no longer served as a rookery pitch, he missed winter already. Today's shadow unfolded from the wall, making herself known. "What are you up to?" asked Corporal Jack, who was Chase's best friend, greatest critic, and full-time nemesis. "Jogging," Chase informed her. Jack laughed, throwing her whole head into it. "No, seriously?" "Jogging," Camilla confirmed in a crow of delight. "Oh." The Royal Hound took the princess at her word, which was super annoying because she never believed a thing that came out of Chase's mouth. "Well then, this I've got to see." "Why did you believe her and not me?" Chase pouted. "Because I've met you," said Jack. "Heartless and unfair." "We'll be exercising very hard," he told her sternly. "Feel free to try to keep up." It wasn't much of a threat. Jack had thighs like tree trunks, and her fitness level made even Cyrus look like he wasn't trying very hard. "Healthy choices," Camilla reminded Chase, rapping him on the side of the head with her knuckles. Yes, jogging. There would be time to plot vengeance against Jack later. "Let's go," he said crisply. Cyrus had clearly been running at laps of the oval since before sunrise, because he was a maniac. As his brother and sister approached, he slowed to a light jog. "Joining me?" "No need to look so happy about it," Chase sulked. "We're not going to try and keep up with you," Camilla assured Cyrus. "Just some fun, light exercise to start the day." "Every day," she added, with a firm look at Chase, who was certain he hadn't agreed to that. Oh, wait, yes, he had, damn it. "Fun," Cyrus repeated, as if the idea of exercising, without turning it into an intense body-breaking challenge, was completely bizarre. Chase had no idea why he was the brother everyone worried about the most. Cyrus was clearly long past breaking point. "I don't know about the rest of you," Chase said, "but I came here to jog." Jogging was the worst. Chase thought he was reasonably fit, coming off a tough season of rookery. He hadn't been dancing as much since the whole fairy kidnapping incident, but still, he had muscle tone. His body did most of the things he wanted it to, unless he was past his third vodka. After running four laps of the oval, Chase learned some new things about himself. He learned that his muscle tone was basically porridge. Grass was so boring he wanted to scream, and also his lungs were on fire. He wasn't going to admit defeat. Camilla was still smiling. They'd attracted an audience of royal hounds and assorted castle hangers-on, who arrived in twos and threes, many of them carrying cups of coffee or breakfast rolls. Apparently, Prince Chase of Charming was the morning entertainment. Five laps. That was respectable. Yes, he could stop after that, but there went Camilla, pounding on for her sixth, with Cyrus overtaking her. Chase glared at both of their backs. "I have juice," Jack called out, which made the decision for him. Chase slowed, stretching out his back and breathing deeply before accepting the cup of squeezed oranges and lemons that Jack passed him. He would never admit that he was grateful for the excuse to stop, but Jack was a good friend, hardly a nemesis at all. "You do realize you're talking out loud," she said, amused. He leaned his sweaty face on her shoulder, wiping his hair on her bright red and white tabard. "I hate everything, but I do like juice." "It's good for you," said Jack, patting him absently, like he was a dog. If only she was into men, Chase would marry the hell out of this woman. Peasant origins be damned. Jack's body stiffened, and for a moment he thought he'd said that out loud too. Not that his desires to marry her would be a surprise to literally anyone. "What's that on the pitch?" she said instead. Chase turned, but before he could focus, the hounds around them started shouting, waving their hands. Some of them ran onto the pitch. Cyrus reached out and slammed into Camilla with his arm, knocking her back before she could collide with the object. Who was Chase kidding? He knew what it was. Everyone knew what it was. "Is that a spinning wheel?" said the new cadet, Blondie McMuscles. Dennis. Chase knew his name was Dennis, but even in a crisis he was always going to be an asshole. He was born that way. "How did that get out there?" asked the other new cadet. Ziggy Mc used to be a princess face. Jack hung on to Chase's shirt, like she thought he might actually dash out after his siblings, which was a stunning overestimation of his bravery. "Get that thing out of here!" she bellowed at the hounds on the pitch. "Burn it!" Cyrus ushered Camilla back to the group, circling widely around the incongruous spinning wheel that had appeared on the grass between one lap and another. "It's a silly superstition," she was arguing. "Someone's trying to scare us, that's all." "That was magic," Corporal Jack retorted. "All business now. Someone enchanted a spinning wheel to appear directly in the path of royals of this family. We have to consider this an official attempt." Chase tugged at Jack to release him from her grip. She did so, looking startled as if she didn't realize she had two handfuls of his shirt. "Does that mean no more sunrise jogging?" he asked hopefully. "Worse than that," said Jack, looking grim. "It means we have to report this incident to His Majesty." Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates, follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly, find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books, and if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. Right now, my Patreon supporters are the only ones who have seen the sneak peek of the brand new Let Sleeping Princes Lie book cover by Katie Shuttleworth. So if you're a Patreon supporter, you can go over and look at that. I'll also be releasing it on my newsletter at some point in the next week. So if that's the sort of thing that makes you curious, there are two ways to access it. All right, see you next week.